Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thanks for joining us on this, the RTC Weekly Download, for another week of great old-time radio. We have detectives today. We have some comedy. We start with the detectives, and we're going to feature that orchid-loving, corpulent gourmet, Nero Wolfe, and his sidekick, Archie, to investigate the Party of Death from 1951.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Wolfe is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang on, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolfe is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolfe's assistant, if I can be of any help.
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolfe. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Absurd. Perfectly absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolfe and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolfe really should have gone to the party since he'd accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolfe was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de Canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. Le Grand Cuisinier de Toute Cuisinie.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You gonna get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
I helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive. At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh, Oh, yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolf begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolf. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
Well, I'd be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do?
Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh. Well, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, not really. A teetotaler now?
Yes, I used to overdo it,
uh-huh.
Remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Uh-huh. Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al, I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yes. Yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodwin?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodwin, let it go.
Why, look. Look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar, eh, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, or only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you'll have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al. Let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe, the firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner Boyce have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgie.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgie.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You'd better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Well, here here's your drink, Georgia. I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie. Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course.
Will you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep, fireworks between them. This one no like other one.
Have you anything more to say?
When I call, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
Don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
That was a strange conversation.
Do you want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
Nope.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There. I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
Well, I drink to the ingredients. Nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think, wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking. I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolf, or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank, gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Well, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. See, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia. And lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, Georgia, will you...
Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking, not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Ah, Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. You know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert! Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolf speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir?
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolf told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolf know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confounded, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf. What was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wolf!
Oh? Eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. Then you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
What do you think of that? He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now, he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolf and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolf will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolf's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
I guess so.
And tell me where they sat.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you, she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back, washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison, with a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison, a fountain pen, whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks she poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane, and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There is no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sore, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Is there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it would be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolf's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch, it was a big one, Joe Boyce, Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolf. Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolf said...
Margie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about three swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
No, what is this nonsense all about, Wolf?
Mr. Wolf is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolf is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolf. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What about it, you, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice is all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolf, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. But tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't. Don't.
Too late, Joe. Too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. That was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He was just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Mindred Lord was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and G.G. Pearson, Herb Butterfield, Peter Leeds, Evelyn Eaton, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Malevolent Medic. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
The Party of Death from 1951, an episode of The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe. Up next on the program is The Adventures of Maisie. Now, this was a syndicated program produced by MGM, the movie studio, featuring some of their people. And this is based on the Maisie movie series. So let's give it a listen. This is The Ex-Convict, and it's from 1950.
Hiya, babe. Say, how about a little... Ouch!
Does that answer your question, buddy?
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. You all remember Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's famous Maisie pictures. In just a moment, you'll hear Maisie in radio, starring the same glamorous star you all went to see and loved on the screen, Ann Southern. But first, your announcer. Here's Ann Southern as Maisie.
Yep, I'm Maisie, like the fella said, Maisie Revere. I'm a gal that knows most of the answers because, believe me, I've been asked most of the questions. That's why maybe when I met Eddie Jordan, I knew it was the real thing. Eddie and me, we've been engaged a long time now, but we can't get married because Eddie's income ain't been coming in steady enough. But now he's got a good job in a bank. In the interest adding up department. Right now, I've dropped in on the bank to see how he's getting on. And also, since it's my birthday next week, I'd better start dropping hints about a present. Because with Eddie, you gotta get to work early.
68 times 10 is 680. 9 into 34 doesn't go.
Well, try again, Eddie. Maybe it can.
Maybe it can. Maisie!
Hello, darling. Don't mind me. Just go ahead with your work. I'll just watch.
Sure, honey, but the boss, Mr. Gillespie, doesn't approve of we clerks working to an audience. I'll see you tonight. 9 into 34 is...
Eddie, I just dropped over to tell you don't really have to.
Don't have to what?
Well, just because it's only 7 days to my birthday, you don't have to spend your hard-earned money just to buy me a present.
I know I don't have to.
But if you're going to be a pig-headed deer and insist on getting me something, I guess there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, your hands sure are tied. Now, honey, I've got a lot of work to do, and you can be a big help.
Oh, you mean like giving me a hint about what I want you should get me?
Okay, what do you want?
Well, it's pretty hard to think at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Maisie, it's 11 o'clock.
It is? Well, how can I tell? I don't have a watch.
Honey, I know it makes no difference what I get you, but, well, I had another idea for a birthday present for you. Very expensive.
Oh, Eddie Jordan, don't you dare tell me what it is.
I won't. 9 and 34.
After all, I'll just wait till my birthday. 7 long, endless days to find out.
Good. 9 into 34.
Because by that time, it may be too late to exchange it.
Maisie, I don't think you'll want to exchange this gift. And you'll never guess what it is.
Well, I won't even try to guess. I know I'll love it, whether it's handkerchiefs, gloves, perfume.
16 and 19 are 35. Plus
or even a handbag?
35.
Pajamas? Bathrobe?
Look, Maisie, let's stop playing 20 questions. It's,
It's what, Eddie?
It's 11 o'clock, and I still haven't got my work done.
Oh, you're right, sweetie. You should get back to work.
Yes.
I've got some shopping to do anyway. I got to buy an anniversary present for you.
Anniversary present?
Yep. Today's exactly a month you've been working here. And when you hold on to a job that long, it calls for a celebration. See you later for lunch. Yeah.
And you really think my fiancé, Mr. Gillespie, will like this girl's cigarette case as a gift, Clark?
Oh, he should, Miss Cavendish. It's positively dreamy.
I don't know. After all, Mr. Gillespie has very expensive taste. He's a bank president, you know.
Yes, I know. But he just adores this cigarette case, Miss Cavendish. It's the most expensive one we carry.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I think I'll buy it. Put it on Mr. Gillespie's charge account, will you?
Well, I shall take care of it immediately, miss. Just as soon as I wrap the gift Mr. Gillespie just bought here for you.
For me? Oh, well, I do hope the dear, impetuous darling didn't go utterly off his conk and buy me something silly. Something I couldn't hawk.
Hardly, Miss Cavendish. Well, I just know I shouldn't even give you a teensy-weensy peek at his gift. If the floorwalker caught me, I just know it might mean my carnation. But I just can't resist showing it to you. Weak-willed one, aren't I?
All right. Give with a gift.
Oh, at once, miss. There. Yummy, isn't it?
Oh, it knocks me out. A heart-shaped pin encrusted with diamonds, rubies, and emeralds. Pounds and pounds of them.
$10,000 it cost, Miss Cavendish. And you'll just drool when you see the inscription on the back. To Lambikins from her babykins.
Oh, the dear, dear boy. After him giving me an expensive gift like this, I'll have to get him something else besides just the cigarette case.
Oh, but yes.
Clark, where is your tie department?
Third aisle to your left, Miss Cavendish. Oh, pardon me, there's a customer at the other end of the counter. Yes, miss? Something for you today?
Oh, yeah, I'd like to buy a cigarette case for my boyfriend. I think I'll take one of those cigarette cases over there. How much are they?
$320.
I'm just looking.
Oh, Maisie.
Oh, Merton, what are you doing here?
I got wonderful news for you, Maisie. Gosh, ain't it exciting?
I'll have to take your word for it, Merton. What happened?
Well, I was home in our boarding house, I was taking a bath, and the phone rang.
Naturally.
And when I answered the phone, it was for you. Guess who it was. So I told the party you weren't home.
Well, that was quick thinking, Mert. Who was it?
None other than the famous glamour girl of pictures, Mona Cavendish.
Well, well. Oh, live bait herself.
Yeah, she said she was an old friend of yours and that you and her used to be on the stage together.
Yeah, I remember her. She could throw a bump right from neutral without winding up.
Oh. Miss Cavendish said she wanted to see you and take you out to lunch today.
Did she say who's paying?
No, but since she invited you and... at her suite at the Waldorf, well, I thought a rich movie star...
By what's on the surface, Mert. Under those stripes, a zebra is still just a jackass, and I know Mona. All she's interested in is money. Do you know how she gets it?
Well, is that important, Maisie? After all, that's her business.
Yeah. What I read about her business is real good. When she divorced her last three husbands, she collected plenty.
Oh, gosh, she must have, huh? Lunch at the Waldorf don't cost peanuts.
Yeah, but Mona's just inviting me up there to show how wrong I've always been about things. She wants to show off all she's got so I can compare it with what I haven't got.
Oh, so you're not going, huh?
On the contrary, I am.
Well, I don't understand. If all she's going to do is gloat
at
you...
That's why I'm going, Mert. She wants me to drool over her diamonds and furs, and I just can't take that chance away from her.
Oh.
After all, Mona deserves a little pleasure out of life. She really has so little, you know. Come on, Mert. Drop me off at Eddie's bank. I want to tell him to include me out for lunch.
Okay, Maisie. I don't get any of this. I guess I'll never understand women.
Well, you're not supposed to, Mert. After all, you're only a man.
Am I? Thanks.
Come in.
You sent for me, Mr. Gillespie?
Oh, Jordan, yes. Come in. Sit down.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Beautiful girl, that picture on your desk, sir. Your daughter?
My fiancée, Jordan.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
Hey, Jordan, I have here a very valuable diamond pin that just arrived from the store. I want you to keep it.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Mr. Gillespie, but I really
couldn't.
It's
for my fiancée, Miss Cavendish.
Oh.
After tonight, she'll be Mrs. Gillespie, you know.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Congratulations, sir. I'm sure Miss Cavendish will be happier with you than she was with all the others.
Thank you, Jordan. Jordan, I want you to keep this little trinket in your desk so's I won't be tempted to give it to Mona, Miss Cavendish, before the wedding. She's a very persuasive woman, you know.
Obviously, Mr. Gillespie, obviously.
But I'm somewhat persuasive myself, Jordan. After all, it took a bit of doing to win Miss Cavendish away from that chap she was engaged to back in Hollywood, Harold Lambert.
Oh, yes, you mean the one that just lost all his money in Wall Street.
It was purely a coincidence, Jordan, the fact that Miss Cavendish decided to shift her affections to me just after Lambert went broke.
Oh, yes, sir. If you say so, sir. I think so, too, sir. I'll put Miss Cavendish's gift at my desk, sir, and then run out for a fast sandwich. A little behind on my work, you know. I want to thank you for having the confidence to put it in my care.
No, not at all, Jordan. You're honest, straightforward, trustworthy, and besides, it's insured.
I looked all through the bank, Maisie, and I can't find Eddie. Say, maybe he's in the vault.
Oh, they wouldn't put Eddie in the vault, Mert. He's a valuable man, I know, but he couldn't be that valuable.
Well, you can't wait around for Eddie to show up. That lunch date with Miss Cavendish is for 1 o'clock, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll just write Eddie a note not to wait for me for lunch. Let's see, he ought to keep his pencils in his desk drawer.
Oh, but you shouldn't do that, Maisie. Look through Eddie's desk, I mean. After all, you're not married yet.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Merton?
Hmm?
Do you see what I see?
What? Yeah, a package, gift wrap.
Oh.
Say, do you think maybe that's the birthday present Eddie got for you, huh?
Merton Fossgruber, if you're suggesting that I open this package to see what Eddie got me 7 whole days before my birthday, I'm ashamed of you.
Well, I didn't suggest anything, Maisie.
But you're thinking that I should. Why, I'd bet if this present was for you, you'd pick it up and shake it like this. To see if you could guess what's in it.
Oh, gosh, it sure sounds expensive, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's jewelry.
Merton Fossgruber, how can you be so utterly curious? Do you really think it is?
Well, who knows? Guess you'll just have to wait till your birthday to find out.
Well, Merton, I'm ashamed of what you're suggesting.
Huh?
Eddie would certainly be angry if he found out that somebody had opened this package before it was supposed to be.
Yeah, he would be.
But he'd never find out if it were rewrapped carefully.
No, he'd never find out.
Hmm. But it's not a nice thing to do.
No, not a nice thing.
No. But if I don't find out what's inside, I won't sleep nights. And I'll get circles under my eyes, and Eddie'd be very miserable because it'd be his fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'd start to worry and get sick and wouldn't be able to show up at the bank, and he'd be fired.
Yeah.
Merton, you just talked me into it.
Talked you into what?
Opening this package to save Eddie's whole future.
Oh, gee, I sure am a convincing one, ain't I? Maisie, I hope you won't be sorry for taking this courageous move to save Eddie's job.
Oh, I won't be, Mert. Unless it's something I can't use.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh.
Get a load of that pin, Maisie.
Gosh, yeah. Just what I just found out I wanted.
Wowie.
A heart-shaped pin, lousy with diamonds and rubies and emeralds.
Oh, gosh, it must have set Eddie back at least $12.
Oh, easy. This here is real imitation, I'll bet.
Sure, and hey, look, Maisie, there's an inscription on the inside, from Eddie to you.
Oh, to Lamekins from her babykin. Merton, isn't that a...
Yeah, and it rhymes, too.
Oh.
Say, I'll bet none of Mona Cavendish's fellas ever wrote stuff like that there to her, huh?
No. Somebody ought to show her what true love really is. Oh, no, Merton, now you're going too far.
I am?
Yeah. Suggesting in your sly manner that I wear this pin when I have lunch with Mona so's I can show her something that I've got that she'll never have.
I suggested you do that? Maisie, I'm a bad boy.
You certainly are, Merton. Why, if I put this pin on before my birthday just to show off in front of Mona, and he'd be furious if he found out.
Yeah, furious.
But he wouldn't find out if I got this pin back in the box and all rewrapped before he knew it was missing.
Yeah, he wouldn't find out.
Merton, you talked me into doing it.
Well, shame on me.
Mm. When I call on Mona, I'm going to wear this pin. For her sake.
For her sake?
Yeah. The poor kid must find out some way what she's missing.
The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern, will continue in just a moment.
Hi, Mona. You remember me?
Well, well, if it isn't Miss Hardway of 1945, Maisie Revere. Oh, come in, my dear. Lunch is about ready.
Oh, well, thanks, dear. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Yes, you always had a healthy appetite, darling. But I'm sorry, the Waldorf cuisine is fresh out of horse today. I'm having them send up some roast pheasant under glass instead.
Under glass?
My favorite dish, darling. Yours, too?
Yours.
Well, do let's sit down, Maisie. I'm utterly exhausted. All that traveling, you know.
Oh, it must be quite fatiguing, my dear. All those round trips from Niagara Falls to Reno and back.
Oh, you've read about my rich husbands, I gather.
Oh, yes. And still gathering them, darling.
Oh, but of course. My latest fiancé happens to be a banker. Tonight he'll be my husband.
Oh, how nice for you. Is he as handsome as that Harold Lambert you just gave the brush to?
Oh, no, this one is much older. And he's more the artistic type. Writes a beautiful check.
Oh, well, at that age, it's nice if they can do something.
Yes. Oh, darling, I wish you could see something. I don't happen to have it here, but my fiancé bought me a gift this morning that will simply knock your eye out.
Oh, well, how nice. I hate to do this to you, darling, but my fiancé also bought me a bit of a trinket, and I can show it to you because I'm wearing it under my coat. Would you care to see it?
Do I have any choice?
No, this is my turn at bat. Look.
That pin was given to you by your fiancé?
Yeah. Pretty little bauble, ain't it? I'll bet you've never seen anything like this before.
That's what you think.
Uh-huh. The big-hearted darling just won't save a penny of all that money he makes at the bank.
In the bank? The Wall Street Trust?
Well, you guessed it, darling. You must be pretty smart.
Not as smart as I thought I was. You'll pardon me now, Maisie. I've got to see my lawyer about a little heart balm suit.
Well, I don't want to rub it in, Mona, but you should see the inscription he put on the back of the pin. It said...
To Lamikins... From her babykins?
Yeah. Hey, how'd you guess it?
A little bird whispered it in my ear. A cooked goose.
You've got to believe me, Mr. Gillespie. I didn't know a thing about it. If there's anything I can do...
You would committing Harry Carey on yourself be asking too much?
Gosh, isn't that a little drastic?
So what do you expect me to do? Congratulate you? Not only did Mona storm into my office and break a golf club over my head, my best putter, but she's also suing me for heart balm and wired Harold Lambert to fly here from the coast and marry her.
She's marrying him instead of a banker like you?
Yes, and after I'd already taken out a marriage license. Oh, I feel miserable.
Yeah. $2 wasted.
And at 4% interest, that would be... Oh, what's the use? Get out, Jordan. You're fired.
Ooh, just wait till I get hold of that blonde saboteur, Maisie. No, I don't understand why you did it, Lamikins. Can you tell me again slowly?
Well, don't you understand, Eddie? I didn't know that your boss, that the pin... Well, you can't blame me for that, can you?
Can I what?
Eddie, Maisie means that when she opened it and put it on, that it was intended from him to her instead of from you to her.
Well, exactly. Thank you, Merton. You have such a clear way of explaining it.
It's okay. Thanks. That's why you really can't hold it against her, Eddie.
I could if I knew what to hold against her. Maisie, how can you do so many dumb things in one day?
Well, it's easy when you use your head. Eddie, where are you going?
To return this pin to Mr. Gillespie. Then I'm going to a psychiatrist.
Well, you still love me, don't you, Eddie?
Yeah, That's why I'm going to a psychiatrist.
Well, Maisie, at least Eddie does understand. And he's still nuts about you.
Yeah, he's nuts, all right. I don't deserve it.
And that there Mr. Gillespie sure must be a louse, firing Eddie for such a natural mistake.
Yeah. Mert, I just got to get Gillespie and Mona back together. If any two people deserved each other, they do.
Yeah, but how are you going to do it, Maisie? Mona is marrying that fella, Harold Lambert, tonight.
But if I went to that wedding and sort of disillusioned Mona about him, Gillespie might get a chance to straighten things out with her.
And give Eddie back his job.
Uh-huh.
With a raise, maybe.
Yeah.
Then you and Eddie could get married and live happily ever after.
Oh, yeah. And we'll have kids, a home, a car. So you can see, Mert, we gotta do it for Gillespie's sake.
Yeah, for his sake.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've never seen Eddie's boss. I mean, ex-boss, I mean. But if Mona's what he wants, Mona's what he's gonna get. Now, I'll just get into my stage makeup. I got just the right outfit to wear so as Mona won't suspect it's me. Then at the wedding tonight...
We are gathered here tonight to witness the marriage of,
Mona Cavendish.
Oh, thank you, yeah. Just... can never understand my own handwriting in these marriage certificates. The marriage of Mona Cavendish to,
Samuel Gillespie III.
No, darling, you're the fourth for me, remember?
Yeah, I don't care how many you've had, my dear. Now, I realize what a truly unusual woman you are for believing my story about that diamond pin and deciding to marry me instead of that Lambert man.
Oh, Sam, I just knew you were the only man in the world for me when you gave me that beautiful $10,000 pin.
Yes. How did you know it was worth $10,000?
I had it appraised. Continue with the ceremony, Judge.
No. And now, before I pronounce you two man and gold digger, man and wife, is there anybody present who can give just cause for this marriage not be consummated?
I do.
She does? You do?
Say, what is this?
Yes, who are you?
Don't you recognize me, darling? I'm the wife you deserted 15 years ago. In Pittsburgh.
That's a lie. I was never in Pittsburgh.
Yes, you were. It was so dark there, maybe you couldn't tell.
Darling, is this true?
No, I never even saw this woman.
Don't give me that. It's never that dark in Pittsburgh.
So, Mr. Gillespie, you've deserted a wife already.
And now you want to marry another one.
Oh, darling, you can't bring home another wife to live with us. We have such a small house.
Mona, darling, this is some sort of a joke.
Well, if it is, I don't appreciate your sense of humor. How could you even think of marrying me without even getting a divorce?
Yes, and giving me enough money to support our Ethelbert.
Yes. You have a child?
And this is ridiculous. If I had a child, would I name it Ethelbert?
Besides being cheap, you were also nasty.
Well, all this is rather irregular. Are you certain somebody hasn't made a mistake?
Yes, I have, almost.
Wait, don't go, Mona. Look here, miss.
Oh, please, darling, Mrs. Our son, remember?
Aha! That's where I've got you. Where is proof? Proof that I'm the father of this Ethelbert.
Well. So he wants proof, does he? He wants proof. I said he wants proof!
Here I am, Daddy.
You're my son?
Uh-huh.
Ah!
Well, it could be. He looks like an Ethelbert.
Hey, Mona, you've got to believe me. I've never been married, so this can't be my son.
He is, and I can prove it.
Yes, how?
Son, tell him.
I admit it.
Well, that's enough proof for me. I'm calling this wedding off, Sam.
Sam? But I thought you...
Mona, darling, please marry me just this once.
I wouldn't marry you now if you owned all the banks in the world instead of one measly one, Mr. Gillespie.
Gillespie?
Yeah, what did you say?
I said, no, you stay in here, son. Gillespie going.
Oh, I'm the one that's going. The next time a man asks me to marry him, I'm going to make sure there isn't any other woman cutting in on my alimony. Goodbye.
Well, so that's all she wanted, eh?
No, just your money, Mr. Gillespie. Oh, you're a lucky dog to find out in time.
I'm sorry, Mr. Gillespie. I didn't think
that... I'm the one who didn't think. Look, miss, I don't know what all this deserted wife thing was about, but I owe you a debt of gratitude. If there's anything I can do to repay you...
Well, yes. You can give Eddie Jordan my fella. We'll give him back his job.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll even raise his salary, $2 a week.
Oh. Well, and one more thing, Mr. Gillespie. I'd like you to talk to Eddie and ask him something I simply have to know.
Well, certainly. What do you want me to ask him?
Ask him, what's he really getting me for my birthday?
In just a moment, we shall return to The Adventures of Maisie. Once again, here's Maisie.
Well, so Mona married Lambert, and she's off for Niagara Falls again. As if the falls needed another drip like her. And Mr. Gillespie learned his lesson, too. He's one fellow that was all ready to embark on the sea of matrimony that was glad he missed the boat. Funny thing, though. I can only be sorry for girls like Mona. True, she has mink coats and sable wraps, but, well, you can't take it with you. And where Mona's going, it'll be warm enough without him. Well, I gotta rush back to Eddie and tell him his job is waiting for him again. And I was really only kidding about being so curious about what Eddie's getting me for my birthday. But I sure hope it ain't a book to read. I already read a book.
You have just heard The Adventures of Maisie, starring Ann Southern. Maisie was written by Arthur Phillips. Original music was composed and conducted by Harry Zimmerman. Supporting cast included Pat McGeehan, Joan Banks, Sidney Miller, Hans Conried, and Frank Nelson. Jack McCoy speaking.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.